Yes, we see. Hey there, folks. Welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I am your host from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer, and my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. Welcome back. Oh, no. I'm back.
Yes, you're back.
So you're supposed to welcome me back.
Welcome back, Mark.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It seems like it's been a week since I've been here.
It has been.
Oh, hey, well, I love that Sochi accent of yours, Tom. You'll have to look that up. It's S-O-C-H-I. So you can find out more about us, Susan and Mark, by going to our website at americascanineacademy.net. That's where dog whisperers are trained, like ourselves. We welcome your questions and comments always, and encourage you to email us at pettalk@live.com. What do you have, Susan?
Well, folks, you can hear all of our shows anytime 24/7 by going to WPET.com/talkradio.com on the web, or you can go to your smartphone to the TuneIn app and tune in at WPET Talk Radio. Now, first up today, we've got our favorite holistic nutritional expert, Anthony Benny with Clear Conscience Pet. They are the makers of Super Gravy, folks, and if you haven't ordered some of this stuff yet, then you just clearly don't love your dog enough. Anthony, tell us what this week's special is.
Hello, Susan. Hello, Mark. Thank you guys so much for always your kind words and your support. It's a joy to work with you. And we have an exciting announcement, so we're going to kind of make that announcement into a great deal for your listeners. Yesterday, we found out that our Sliders Tender Sticks, which are individually wrapped Sliders moist, meaty treats, have been chosen the best pet treat of 2013 by the Doggington Post, which I think hopefully some of your listeners are aware of. It's the largest internet newspaper for dog lovers, over a million readers per week. And by being chosen for that, we've also kind of broken another record, that award now 2 years in a row, having won it last year for our lamb, Airy Bites. So we're two-time in a row winners, and we're offering some phenomenal Valentine's Day deals on the Tender Sticks, and we're calling it Try a Little Tender Sticks. And the coolest thing is that we're Amanda and I came up with this idea for the secret Valentine deals. So when you buy these deals, depending on what deal you buy, you either get one, two, or three extra little gift packs so that your dog can give some Valentines to some of the neighborhood dogs or your family members' dogs or coworkers' dogs. So we want to really spread the love with the Tender Sticks and get people introduced to truly healthy, meaty treats as opposed to the not quite as good products on the market that use fillers and chemical preservatives that we won't ever use. So please visit our website at Clear Conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, clearconsciencepet.com. And those deals should be right up there on the homepage. We're just kind of putting them up as we speak. And they're fabulous deals, great savings, and what a fun way to share the love with some of your other dogs in your neighborhood or family dogs.
Awesome. Yeah. We love Sliders. Yeah, congratulations. That's phenomenal. And, of course,
thank
the Sliders
so
are the bomb.
You know, these things are very important because they help to get us known better, and it also helps to keep our morale high as we try to fight the powers that be out there in the big, bad pet industry as a small family company dedicated to the purest, cleanest, and healthiest products that have ever been made. So it's important that somebody's noticing that we're doing that, and folks like you who are so kind and gracious in spreading the word are a big part of that as well. So thanks for all that you do, and thank you for letting us be part of your support team for H4, the heroes helping hounds. I'm missing one of the H's, but what you do for the servicemen and getting them connected with service dogs is just a really beautiful thing, and we appreciate so much that you do it and that we can help in the tiny way that we do.
Well, and we appreciate everything you do for us and for the veterans. You know, it's important when we bring them in to our program that we get them on the best nutrition possible. And you're allowing the dogs to stay on the best nutrition possible once they go to their vet. And that's just a huge part of the whole keeping the dog stable and well-behaved is the nutrition, and we can't thank you enough for what you do to support us.
Well, we want to keep those dogs on that hydrated diet using super gravy every day, and it's the simplest thing in the world. You just anyone out there who wants to improve their dog's diet, and you folks know better than anyone, all it takes is a scoop of super gravy, some warm water, and a decent quality dry food, if that's what you choose to use, and we will have a dog who get better digestion, more enjoyment of their food, and they will eat consistently and with enthusiasm, as again, I'm sure you can attest. So even though it's Sliders Tender Sticks Day and Valentine's, super gravy is always at the top of our minds as to how to really improve the daily diet. Thank you guys for spreading the word on that, and you have a great show, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. And folks, stay tuned, because this is a good lead-in for our next couple of guests. Anthony's talk about digestion and how important nutrition is in keeping the dog stable. This also helps the dog to build their immunity to diseases. Nutrition is the first step in building a dog's immunity. And coming up next, we've got Dr. Kathy Alanovi. She's going to be coming on the show to talk about mange.
And
you know, as you know, some types of mange can come from having a lowered immune system. So, folks, nutrition is extremely important to not only the dog's behavior, but to building a strong, healthy immune system. And when we come back, we are going to have Dr. Kathy on to talk about that and to talk about the immune system and how it affects the dog's body and how they can develop diseases like mange. So we will head to break, and when we're back, we'll have Dr. Kathy on after these messages. What do you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town? All right, folks, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
And we're going to bring in our next guest now, our favorite veterinarian, Dr. Kathy Alanovi. She is nationally recognized for her integrative approach to animal health, and she's here to talk to us about that ugly little world called mange. Now, recently we brought a dog into our program that we found out has demodectic mange, and our initial response was one of concern. But after consulting with Dr. Kathy, we feel like it's really going to be okay. And so we thought we'd invite her on to talk about the different types of mange and kind of what to expect and what it's all about. So, Dr. Kathy, tell us what you know about mange.
Okay, so first, doesn't thinking about mange just make you have the heebie-jeebies and get the creepy crawlies?
Well, Susan's sitting next to me, yeah. So that gives her that creepy crawly feeling.
Oh, well, okay, and that's because there's also the flea concern.
Yes, exactly. I like her.
Right. And so just like you guys were talking in the last segment, absolutely, the immune system is going to be the biggest thing. So let's back up. There's two types of mange that commonly affect dogs. There's demodex and there's sarcoptic or scabies type mange. There are a couple of other unusual ones, but those are the two big ones. So scabies is the super itchy one, and what often makes people panic if they get a diagnosis for their dog to have scabies, they think, oh my goodness, my kids are going to get it. what do I do? The nice thing, if your dog has to have scabies, then at least the good thing about that is that the mite that causes scabies in dogs is specific to dogs. It's not going to infect humans or cats or cows or anything else. The just like a flea, it may get off and bite somebody, but it's going to want to go back to the dog, and it's not going to reproduce. So that's the good thing about scabies if your dog has to have it. Scabies, or which is also called sarcoptic mange, tends to be incredibly itchy, like holy cow. Usually the Demodex or demodectic mange, which is also called red mange, it's not itchy usually, but sometimes the doggy's immune system is so weak that they are itchy. So the crazy thing is I'm going to give you a whole bunch of general rules, and then you're going to say, oh, well, it only works some of the time. So that's true. It works some of the time. One of the common ways that we diagnose Demodex in the office is if a dog comes in and it looks like it has raccoon eyes. So it has naked around its eyeballs. And they say, oh, you look like you have raccoon eyes. And it may have, like, hair loss under its chin, around its nose, on its feet, something like that. But the raccoon eyes are not particularly itchy. Tends to be very suggestive for Demodex. The really hard thing to get an honest-to-goodness, real diagnosis for Demodex is tough. Sometimes you have to do 20 or more skin scrapings. And when you do a skin scraping looking for Demodex, you have to use the side of a scalpel blade and scrape hard enough that it brings it breaks the little blood vessels and it brings some blood to the surface. So you can imagine this is kind of uncomfortable for the puppy that is going through this. Scabies is easier. It's a lot easier to find and see that under the microscope.
So once they do a skin scraping and then they see a mite, what's next?
Yeah, and so you do the skin scraping, and if you see the critter that looks like scabies, then you know what to do. And if you see the critter that looks like Demodex, you know what to do. So Demodex looks kind of like a cigar, but it's usually attached to a hair, and, you know, but it's sort of like a cigar, but you're looking through a microscope, and it's black and white. whereas scabies basically looks like a tiny little tick crawling around underneath the microscope. And so you can imagine having those tiny little ticks crawling around on you is going to give you the heebie-jeebies and make you really itchy. The usual treatment is some kind of an ivermectin, which is the active ingredient in HeartGuard, being one of the heartworm preventatives. It's a different concentration of medication. And it's a different treatment protocol if it's scabies or if it's Demodex. There are other medications. Used to be we did a lot of basically flea and tick dips with a drug called Amitraz. It's a heavy-duty chemical, and I've seen some dogs have some pretty nasty side effects, like it makes their brain not work right. They're kind of drunk. Feet just don't process, and it can be pretty toxic. So there are some that are safer. But, again, what you guys were talking about earlier, it's the immune system. If their immune system were strong, they wouldn't have the mange. So that's where you have to go back, and usually that's where you can make it better.
Okay, so either one, the scabies or the Demodex, can come from a lowered immune system. But is either one of them, you said the scabies is not contagious to humans. What about to other dogs? Which one is contagious, basically?
Scabies is more directly contagious between dogs than Demodex. The weird thing with Demodex, and what they tell us in vet school, is that, oh, every dog is born and has a few Demodectic mites on its skin. It's just kind of a critter that lives in the skin, and, you know, their mom has a couple, but her immune system is nice and strong, so it never overgrows. So if that's the case, then sort of it's contagious, but if every dog has it, And then how come none of them show it? And none of them show it because most of them have strong skin immune systems. It's the one that for some reason their skin is their sensitivity, and that's where they're going to show all their weakness, and that's where the Demodex goes crazy and starts reproducing like, you know, a happy thing.
Right, and that's why we believe in the good nutrition to boost that immune
system. Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
because if you try to fight Demodex, but you're feeding the lowest quality food on the market, your dog will never get better from Demodex.
And what about spay and neuter? How would that affect a dog's mange?
The anesthesia from spay and neuter does temporarily weaken the immune system. So what do? If you have a patient you suspect, so for me as a veterinarian, if I have a patient who I suspect has Demodex, I often have the owner wait. And we spend some time and we strengthen the immune system and get to where it feels like that dog is doing well and the dog looks good. You know, there will be a few rare cases where it seems like everything's okay or you don't have much history, like you pick up a dog out of a shelter, do the spay or the neuter, and then all of a sudden the Demodex blows. That's not very common. I've seen it a couple of times, and it's been people who also are feeding the low-quality food.
Okay, so...
And vaccinate and deworm, so we schnocker the immune system. So, yeah.
Okay, well, what about a dog, if a female dog is not spayed and she goes into heat, will that affect her immune system? Can that lower her immunity because she's basically, bleeding out?
Not bleeding to death, thank God.
That's
a really good question. It may look like it, right?
Yes. That's what it feels like anyway.
Yeah, it may. So I love that question. That's great. Because the hormones definitely change the immune system. But I don't think that the hormones, and I'm not 100% sure because I don't know that I've ever been put in this situation. So I think you guys are going to experience this for the first time, aren't you?
Yes.
It's a normal thing for her to go into heat. So it shouldn't weaken her immune system. It's just going to make a mess, and all the boys are going to be a little obsessive until you get her immune system nice and strong and get that mange cleared up.
Okay.
Now, does it matter the severity of the mange?
The severity of the mange matters as far as your long-term outlook. I have had one holy cow naked from nose to tail mange dog that, gosh darn it, I know I got the mange taken care of, but something more is going on, and, she's got hair from her nose to her neck now, and it's been years. So other than that, unless the mange is that severe, so you'd have a pink Great Dane. Not so much.
Yeah, in this particular case, she has about 12 spots, kind of bald spots, maybe the size of anything from a dime to a quarter size. For a dog that large, that's not a lot. But the particulars about this is that the dog is, number one, she's young. As far as I'm concerned, she's still a puppy. She just turned 1 year old, but also that she was basically starved for several weeks and had lost a considerable amount of weight, which we've already made the tie-in from nutrition to building an immune system. And if you have no nutrition, then, you have a weakened immune system. So, I really feel like this dog is going to recover very nicely from it. But you mentioned the... ivermectin is the treatment. Is that for both types of mange?
It is. So that's the most common treatment for both types of mange. It's a different treatment protocol. One's once a week, one's every 2 weeks. And then there's some severe cases, then for the Demodex, you can go up to daily. And it, you know, but that's only one treatment protocol, like what you find in the books, you know. Then there are some other products, used to be Promaris, which is no longer available, but it was labeled to help treat Demodex. There's a newer product that is available in some states, which is Frontline Tri-Tac, and it can help treat mange as well. And then you can do a lime dip, which has the lovely odor of rotten eggs because it's truly a lime sulfur dip. And it might be really cost effective though on your big girl, although the ivermectin is pretty inexpensive. But see, if she's got 12 spots all over her body, then she really has it all over her body from nose to tail. And so you want to treat the whole big girl. And then the lime dip only stinks while you're using it. And then as soon as it's dry, she smells a little bit like burnt toast, but it's not bad until you put your nose all the way down into her fur. So it's not too bad. And you do that every 4 to 5 days. And there are other treatments out there. People who raise goats, ringworm is so common in sheep and goats, and they spray iodine on and douse these animals all over. And, you know, livestock have a lot of issues with it. Because ringworm, what is it really? I switched from ringworm to mites. But see, this is where you have cross treatment, because the iodine will do ringworm and mites. And so in livestock, they don't know, but regardless of the time of the year, it's in the environment. So anyway, but that's a different species. So let me share some fun facts.
I was waiting for old McDonald had a farm.
Well, sometimes out here in Indiana, they do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kathy, for number one, helping us with consulting with us on this particular case, but also for coming on today and telling our listeners about mange and explaining the ins and outs of it, because I learned a lot, and I appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to having you on again.
My pleasure. Thank you both very much.
Now, will my itch go away after talking about this?
You might want to take a bath. It'll make you feel a whole lot better. Maybe have some ice cream.
Thank you, Dr. Kathy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.
All right, are we going to break?
Yeah, folks, we are going to head to break. And when we're back, we will have our third guest on for today to talk more about the immune system. And we'll be back right after these messages. What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
You are listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
And we are going to bring in our next guest now. An optimal immune system, which is what we've been discussing on the show, begins with an optimized gut. And Stephen Hauer has found a key to having an optimized gut with his product called Healthy Goo. And he's here to tell us how we can accomplish that with Goo Gut Rescue.
Welcome, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Susan, and thank you, Mark, for the opportunity to talk about a healthy gut.
Well, you, I'm sure you heard the first segment where we was talking about demodectic mange. And, you know, the dogs that we see all have health issues, compromised immune systems, because we get them out of shelters. And a lot of times there's a lot of other things that they're, that's destroying their immune system, and that's where Healthy Goo comes in. Tell us about that.
Yes, exactly. So whether you're a two-legged animal or a four-legged animal, 70% of your immune system resides in your gut. And while it may not be very appealing to be talking about a gut, it's hugely important. And what we find is, as you mentioned, Mark, some of our poor animals coming out of rescue are not up to tip-top immune health speed for various reasons. We have things like, of course, chronic inflammation, a poor diet, maybe lack of exercise, and probably one of the single most reasons why people's guts and our dogs' guts are compromised is because of the medication possibility or past history of medications, specifically antibiotics.
So dogs in there taking antibiotics, or even our own dogs taking antibiotics for whatever reason.
Exactly. Antibiotics certainly do have a place in our health equation. They are a double-edged sword, however, meaning that, yes, they do kill the bad bugs that they're supposed to, typically, again, infection, inflammation, that type of thing. But they also do have, as collateral damage, the beneficial bugs are also decimated by these antibiotics. And what people must remember is that unless you aggressively repopulate your gut before, during, and after antibiotics, if you don't aggressively repopulate your gut will become dominated by pathogenic bad bugs that are a little bit faster moving, opportunistic to the good bugs. And frankly, they'll reside there until they're kicked out. But the most important thing with regard to a compromised gut is that, of course, the daily food breakdown and absorption is compromised, but ultimately the lining and integrity of the gut itself becomes compromised, and things begin to move into the blood system that shouldn't, and that sets off a whole slippery slope of other health issues.
So is that why they recommend that you take probiotics whenever you're taking antibiotics?
Very much so. If you ever get a prescription for antibiotics, in addition to a stool softener savings coupon, they should be talking about pre and probiotics as well. The reason for the stool softener is that unless you do aggressively repopulate your gut with pre and probiotics, the reason they suggest a stool softener is that because the antibiotics do decimate both good and bad bacterial colonies in the gut, your feces, frankly, are not as soft and moist and soft serve ice cream-ish as they should be, and as a result, they are rather thick and dense, and therefore that's why they're suggesting a stool softener. But at the end of the day, stool softeners are really a Band-Aid on a larger issue, and the main action that you should be thinking about and taking is aggressively repopulating your gut with these good bugs.
Okay, so what are the everyday signs that people could look for that would indicate a lowered immune system?
Yes, our immune system, of course, is key to fighting off disease. Things like low energy in our animals, poor coat and skin quality, of course, is a major indicator. Itching is another one. I'm allergy-focused, and certainly itching is a paramount indicator of the presence of the allergy snowball. Gunky ears are another one. That is essentially a infected ear that is caused, well, typically, again, by allergy inflammation and the ear attempting to remove the irritant with gunk to no avail. The eyes also, too, are a good indicator of health. Clear, crisp, white eyes, whether you're two- or four-legged, are a good indicator of health. Behavior, if the animal's irritable, that's an indication that they're just not feeling up to speed. GI performance, while it may not be very pleasant to talk about the output, so to speak, It is a very good indicator of overall health, and poor feces and frequency issues are a very good indicator of good or bad health. And just overall, an incident of or a tendency toward other disease illnesses or just not being themselves all point to that body, that immune system, trying desperately, unsuccessfully, unfortunately, to fight off something that's causing trouble.
Now, so your product, Goo Gut Rescue, tell us how it works and what does it do?
Goo Gut Rescue is, as the name cute and playfully describes, rescues a gut that is dominated by bad bug dominance. It's more than a casual pre- and probiotic blend that perhaps you may be bringing to your animal on a daily basis, which is certainly a good idea. But when you do have a gut that's been compromised and is dominated by these bad bugs, either through antibiotic or just a bad history of some medication and diseases, you really need to hit that gut with a, for lack of a better term, an industrial strength level of pre- and probiotics to aggressively reseed that gut with the good stuff and kick out the bad. And with Goo Gut Rescue, it is a formulation based on a dermatologist, our medical director, Dr. Kristen, but also as an adjunct to Dr. Kristen's input, we had a veterinarian as well who has a very strong background in microbial feed for our livestock, and certainly being a veterinarian knows his way around the GI of our four-legged animals as well. And in addition to the pre- and probiotics of Goo Gut Rescue, we also, too, build tolerance to some of the seven provocative foods that that may cause trouble in animals that have GI distress. We're not so much approaching the foods from a food allergy standpoint, but rather trying to build tolerance to take the edge off these provocative foods.
Awesome. Well, you know, we're big believers because it changed a couple of dogs we had here just from one end of the spectrum to the other. So we love your products.
Oh, thank you, Susan, and thank you, Mark. Certainly from your heart and also your trained eye and background with our animals, you have seen some of the positive results of our Doggy Goo for Allergies and Goo Gut Rescue, certainly that supports that effort. With animals, as you well know, there's no placebo effect. In the case of itchy allergies, we have an itchy dog. We introduce our Doggy Goo to the equation. The dog doesn't know that that tasty peanut butter treat is fighting their allergies, and that pet parent trained eye observing the degradation or the decreasing of these allergy symptoms toward a healthy dog is I would say concrete positive proof that we've got something to contribute with our Doggy Goo product.
Now, Stephen, where can our listeners find out more about Healthy Goo, Goo Gut, Silver Goo?
Well, thank you very much. Healthy Goo is our umbrella master website location, healthygoo.com. And in there, we do have a brief synopsis for the various Doggy Goo, Goo Gut Rescue, and Goo Silver products. And certainly with each one of those products, we have its own dedicated website for them, filled with a lot of product information and, of course, the medical science behind the product. But also, too, most importantly, testimonials from our pet parents speaking to their positive Goo experience and how the various Goo product has helped their animal's health.
And we have one of those stories there, too, I believe.
You do, Mark. You do. And again, we certainly welcome that testimonial. Our mantra is, let Goo speak for itself through your animal's improved health to you, then tell us about it. And thank you, Mark and Susan, for sharing your positive feedback about your Goo experience. But most importantly, here again is another example that our Goo has been able to turn around and improve the life and quality of health of our animals Principally with a disease that is allergy, which is an insidious, nasty, entrenched disease, miswired immune system type of thing that really needs to be addressed before it turns the animal into an itching mess.
You've got it. And thank you so much, Stephen, for coming on today. We love your product. We love you. And we appreciate everything you've done to help us and coming on and telling our listeners about your product also. So we are going to head to break, and we will look forward to having you on again. We'll be back after these messages.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy. As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
All right, folks, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And now we are going to have our special segment called Dogs in the News.
When news breaks, we fix it. Susan?
I love it when he does that. All right, folks, I was actually alerted to this story this morning by my friend John, who is a U.S. soldier with his military working dog, Hansa. So, hey, John, hey, Hansa. But I wanted to tell this story real quick. You know, for years, the Taliban have complained of infidel dogs who have invaded Afghanistan, and now it seems they've caught one. A video released actually this morning by the Taliban's cultural arm, Al Imara, pictures long-haired gunmen showing off the spoils of war. They claim six Americans were killed in an operation against American forces on December 23rd. And at that time, they captured weapons as well as a subdued-looking canine on a chain. The canine wears the sort of shoulder harness used by working dogs. One of the fighters reported that this particular dog was named after a colonel and it wears a GPS on its neck. A Taliban spokesman told NBC News that this dog was very important to the Americans and that once they got the dog, the Americans tried their best to get it back, but they didn't succeed. Now, dogs are used extensively by coalition forces in Afghanistan. Some of them work as sniffing out IEDs, weapons, or drugs, while others are there in a search and rescue role. And regardless of what they're doing, it's a very dangerous job. Last year, it emerged that four dogs had died working alongside their army handlers. And officials from the U.S.-led International Assistance Security Force confirmed a dog had gone missing, but said that this particular dog in the Taliban claims that was an American dog, the ISAF, or IASF, is claiming that it's a British unit. So more news will be coming about on that particular as they research more. Now, Mark, what do you have?
Well, people are always talking about what's the smartest dog? What's the smartest dog? And I always tell them the four-legged one.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a survey done recently by Vet Street, and that's where 122 veterinarian professionals come together and vote, if you would, on which dog breeds are the smartest. Now, here's the top five, apparently in this order, or backwards, however you want to take it. A Golden Retriever.
That's number five.
Australian Shepherd.
Number four.
Poodle.
Is number three.
A German Shepherd.
Number two. And what's
the smartest dog? A Border Collie.
Awesome. Now, I want to note that Golden Retriever, Australian Shepherd, Border Collie, all three of those are in the top five. And you know what?
We've placed,
and those are the dogs that we love in our H4 program because they are so easily trainable. They're so smart. And we love to work with these types of dogs when training them to be service dogs. One other thing about them is, besides their intelligence level and their ability to be trained, is that they're very companion oriented, which is perfect quality for being a service dog to a military veteran.
Now, on the other spectrum of that is the dumbest dogs. Well, I don't think they called it the dumbest dogs.
I think the wording they used was least intelligent.
Okay, well, they're politically correct, and I'm not. So here's the dumb ones for y'all. Basset Hound.
Number five.
Irish Setter.
Number four.
Weimaraner.
Number three.
Pug.
Ooh, don't tell that to our old neighbor. Ooh.
And number one, drum roll, Chihuahuas.
Chihuahua. Oh, my gosh.
So, Chihuahuas we just won't even go there. They're a Chihuahua is an NRD.
And not a real dog.
So.
All right. So, last story, and then we're going to head out. Many of you may have already been hearing little bits and pieces of this, but over in Sochi, Russia, there's a dog shelter backed by a Russian billionaire, and it's engaged in a frantic last-ditch effort to save hundreds of strays that are facing a death sentence before the Winter Olympics. Already, hundreds of animals have been killed, with the local authorities apparently wanting the stray dogs cleared from the streets before Friday's opening ceremony. So I guess that leaves until the end of the day today, huh?
Right.
All right. Well, authorities are saying the dogs can be wild and dangerous, but reports of their systematic slaughter by a pest removal company hired by the government in recent months have outraged animal rights advocates and cast a gruesome specter over the traditionally cheery atmosphere of the games. Now, the handling of the matter has also sharply undercut the image of a friendlier, welcoming Russia that President Vladimir Putin has sought to cultivate.
Can that be a friendlier Russia? That like
an oxymoron? It's an oxymoron. Now the shelter
Army
was
intelligence.
Exactly.
All right,
The shelter was told either you take all the dogs from the Olympic Village or the authorities would shoot them. So basically they were told on Monday that they had until today.
Right, so a golf cart basically is going around the streets trying to pick up dogs. Last ditch effort.
Well, the golf cart is picking up the animals and delivering them to this shelter, which is basically an outdoor shanty town of dog houses. And the shelter is being called Povo Dog. It lies past the cemetery at the end of a dirt road with no electricity or running water. It's basically just a makeshift shelter, and it's giving refuge right now to 80 animals, including a dozen puppies. Local animal rights workers say many of the strays were pets or the offspring of pets abandoned by families whose homes with yards were demolished over the past few years to make way for the Olympic venues, and who were compensated with new apartments in taller buildings where keeping a pet is often viewed as undesirable. They also say that Russia has never made a priority of pushing responsible animal control policies, including spaying and neutering, which would have helped avoid the current problem. In an effort to remove the dogs began in October, as did the initial efforts to gather up strays and shelter them. And animal rights advocate here stated about 300 dogs a month were being killed in Sochi at a cost of $25 to $35 each.
Well, they use this chemical that causes them to suffocate.
Oh, God.
That's how they euthanize them.
Well, the International Olympic Committee responded with a carefully worded statement. Mark Adams, a spokesman, told reporters after a briefing Wednesday that no healthy dogs found on the grounds of the Olympics were being destroyed. He said it would be absolutely wrong to say that any healthy dog will be destroyed. But on Monday, Humane Society International, an advocacy group based in Washington, wrote to Mr. Putin and urged him to prevent the killing of dogs, noting that the Russian president is also a dog lover. Mr. Putin's spokesman acknowledged in an interview that Sochi was struggling with stray dogs. And he says that it is true that there are stray dogs in Sochi, more stray dogs than in other cities. The explanation is quite simple. When a big construction project is underway, dogs and puppies always appear and the builders feed them. Now the builders have left, but unfortunately the dogs remain.
And I noticed that the Olympic Committee has nothing to do with this. They can't do anything, so it's not up to them.
That's correct, but with the Olympics fast approaching, there's simply no time to build an indoor space. And local residents have learned of the shelter. However, the needs are only growing. On Tuesday night, the shelter worker said someone dropped off two puppies without any explanation. And so far, the worker said there have been some offers of money, but very few donations of what is really needed, which is food, veterinary medicines, and other supplies. So all of the dogs entering the shelter receive medical treatment, including vaccination, and all of them will be eligible for adoption, even to fans who attend the Olympics.
Isn't that nice? How are they going to get them out of Russia?
Well, I don't know.
They're getting arrested anyway.
Well, anyway, folks, that's all for this week. Remember, you can email us at pettalk@live.com. Thanks for joining us and have a great week.
You too.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?